Morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. Maintaining a healthy gut is essential for almost all aspects of wellness, and your gut microbiome can influence your mood, sleep patterns, weight management, skin health, and so much more. So increasing research shows that environmental toxicants can have a negative impact on your gut microbiome. Many of these toxic chemicals are introduced to our bodies through the food we eat, like processed food and packaged food. Eating an organic whole foods diet is a critical step in lowering your toxic chemical burdens. One of the easiest way to nourish your gut is making bone broth. And that's why we're really excited today to be joined by Aisha Gamber, founder of Nutrition by Aisha in Liverpool. Aisha is a nutritionist who specializes in hormone and gut health, and we're going to discuss why bone broth is so good for your gut, how to make bone broth, and different ways to incorporate it into your diet. So, hello, hi Aisha.
Hi Jenna. How are you?
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Good, how are you?
I'm good, thank you
so much for joining us. What time is it where you are now?
It is 8 p.m. I'm currently in Dubai at the moment. I relocated over here, so I know you said the time difference was 12 hours.
Thank you so much for joining us after hours.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate you reaching out.
Yeah. Tell us like a little bit about your background, like how you became a nutritionist.
Yeah, so basically I came from a completely different background. So I studied law and then I did that for 3 years. Didn't actually practice law, I just got the degree. And then I went into my family business, and then we lost a family member. So due to the trauma of that, I developed my own health such as acne, eczema, and I literally had acne all over my face, all over and eczema on my eyes, hands. So that just went from bad to worse. And then from that point onwards, I was literally going to GPs, dermatologists, you know, for medications for both my eczema and acne. And then, yeah, so I took that, carried on as normal, like everyone else was doing. And then after being in the family business, I found this course on nutrition. I was like, oh, I want to do it. So I did the course. And then after doing the course, I decided to stop all the medications. And by that time, we were in COVID. And then from January 2020 to the summer, I healed my body. So all my skin literally cleared up with therapy. And I literally healed myself inside out. And I was shocked. And I was like, oh, it actually does work. So that's when I decided to go into the specialism, helping clients now with the similar issues. Even though being skin issues, it always targets the gut and the hormones as well. So it's an all-rounder.
That's such a beautiful story.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I'm happy where I am. So it's good.
So what does the nutritionist do for clients? So what do you do for your clients?
So when I have someone reach out to me, I ask them what the health concerns are. And then what I try to do is when I book them on for consultation, I literally go through everything as a whole. So every system of their body is what I look into, because with nutritional therapy, we establish what the root cause is of a problem or a health condition. So looking at every system enables me to figure out, okay, I need to target this. It enables me to figure out what triggers are, what the drivers are to their symptoms. And then that's how I create a plan for the client. And then it also includes lifestyle changes as well, not just food. So all in all of that together is how what I would do for my clients. So whoever reaches out.
You mentioned the root cause. What are some root cause? What does that mean to you?
Oh, root cause, it could be stress. So for myself, for example, I knew that the root cause was stress related, because that's when I know that I developed those issues from a stress related problem. Mm-hmm. Also, I knew that the certain foods that were affecting my gut, so I knew that I had to eliminate certain things. Medications, they were driving my symptoms, because I was noticing different changes in my gut health. But then when I got to the bottom by doing some testing as well, that enabled me to figure out what the root actually is. So I carried out certain functional tests on myself, and then that's how I understand what actually are the issues of my own health. And that's what I try to practice clients to help them get to the root of their problems.
Yeah, so today we're going to talk about a really active way to really help your gut heal, which is by having some bone broth. So on a high level, like why should a person choose bone broth over, say, vegetable stock for like healing their gut?
So bone broth contains nutrients such as glutamine, collagen, proline, and glycine. Now, glycine is also an amino. These are all amino acids. So glycine in particular does help someone who's got low energy levels or they're feeling fatigued. And these nutrients all together help heal the gut, because when you simmer the bones, the simmering causes the release of the compounds such as the amino acids. That's how you get the nourishing effect of the bone broth. And then it also produces gelatin. So this is what plays a role in the integrity and healing of the gut lining. So when you actually cook the bone broth and you actually leave it to cool down, it starts to thicken up. And when it thickens, that's what forms the gelatin. And then also, if you've got things like food sensitivities, or people got issues like leaky gut or diarrhea, constipation, the collagen from the gelatin helps heal the gut lining. So in that way, it's good for a lot of digestive issues for a lot of people. But vegetable stock in itself doesn't contain collagen, so it doesn't really have benefits. It just gives a nice taste to a soup. And if you're obviously vegan or vegetarian, you're not going to opt for bone broth, are you? So vegetables. So, but yeah, I mean, vegetables have their own benefits, but if you want to get the proper benefit, you would have to go for bone broth, whether it's chicken or beef being the main one.
You kind of like sort of answering my next questions. I wanted to ask, like, do different types of bones have different benefits? Or like, you know, off flavors, obviously, but do they like, does chicken like beef versus like kind of have different functions?
So different bones have different flavors and intensity, because chicken bones can take type contain type 2 collagen, which is good for people who've got arthritis or joint pain, but for like anti-inflammatory, to reduce inflammation in the musculoskeletal system of the body. Now, when you eat of the chicken, the feet is what contains a lot of the nutrients compared to the bones in the chicken. But in but yeah, so also the beef, sorry, the yeah, the chicken contains the protein in the chicken of the feet is better compared to the ones in beef. But if you have massive issues, then for digesting bone broth, I would opt for chicken, because beef can be quite heavy on the stomach. So you want to go for that. But also, beef does have a higher concentration of minerals like magnesium, calcium, phosphorus, and glucosamine and chondroitin. They're the ones that are used in joints as well. And again, beef is more denser, but it does have the omega-3, omega-6 ratio as well. So for people who want to make sure that the inflammation is stable, if you've got high omega-6, more pro-inflammatory. But so yeah, so in comparison to chicken, beef does have more nutrients. But if you've got like digestive issues, you don't want to opt for beef, because it'll be too rich on the stomach and you won't be able to break it down.
That's really
So
good
you
to
could.
know. Can
Yeah, sorry, go on.
Sorry, you I cut you off.
No, I was just gonna say there was just one more thing that I remember to say, was that there's an issue with histamine as well. So if you're that type of person who has histamine issues, where you can have like allergies, or you get rashes, or you have like intolerances to foods, you wouldn't want to simmer the bones for too long, because that's when you're going to release a lot of the effect that you would need. However, if you have got histamine issues, I would opt for just simmering the bones for about 2 hours, not longer than that.
Wow, that's really good to know. We're gonna talk about how to make bone broth in a little bit. I have another question. If you're like, you know, making bone broth yourself, can the conditions in which, you know, the animals are farmed have an impact on the benefit of the bone broth?
Yeah, absolutely, because you want to opt for the meat that's from like pretty much organic, pasture fed or grass fed. Because if you have ones that are fed on corn, for example, corn is an allergen and also it's pro-inflammatory. So you never know what the outcome would be when you are depending on what you buy, and then you want to opt for meat that's hormone free, fed free, antibiotics. Have you got any of those, inside? Because at least you know what you're going to be consuming. Is the cleanest, and you won't be facing issues. So yeah, the condition of it also does have a very big impact on the meat and the bone
So
broth.
you mentioned like if you have any histamine issues, you should not be cooking the bone for more than 2 hours. So
Yes.
what's your like a go-to recipe to like make a bone broth? Walk us through that.
Yeah, that's right. So myself, me personally, I did have these issues, but because when I started healing my body through that time of COVID, now, like for example, just kind of moving off tangent, I couldn't really eat eggs to a certain extent, but now I can. So I know that for a fact that my body can tolerate it. So it is a histamine issue, but now it's all good. So in terms of my recipe for bone broth, I would get like a good handful of the chicken neck, the feet, and the wings, and then but you don't put the meat of the chicken, you would just put the carcass and the bones into a big stove. And then I would add leeks, carrots, white onion, leeks, carrot, white onion, sorry, peppercorns, Himalayan, like maybe some thyme. The vinegar is so important because that helps the release of the nutrients. What else? Yeah, and maybe some other herbs like oregano, just to give it a bit of flavor, and some bay leaves. Then I put everything, literally dump all the ingredients into a big pan. Add the water, preferably filtered, and then let it simmer. So depending on how long you want to simmer it for, that's down to you. But yeah, I would simmer it and then literally let it cook away.
That actually sounds really flavorful.
Yeah, but then because when what I tend to do is once I've made the broth, I tend to add that broth into my version of a soup. So in that soup, I've put like my veggies like kale, carrot, broccoli, maybe some shiitake mushrooms. And then I'd add some herbs like garlic, ginger, chilies, just to give it a bit more of flavor and some herbs. And then I'd add my bone broth as my base for my soup. I've got like extra nourishment going on.
So when you're like making the bone broth, do you like actually have to stir it, like taste it to make sure like you don't overcook? Is there a way you can overcook the bone broth?
No, the key is not to stir it. What I do is when you put the stove on, the gas or the electric, whatever you're using, you might notice within the first hour that you get like foam on top of the bone broth. So you can remove that foamy part, and then after that, you just literally leave it on low and just let it simmer. Because the slower you cook it, that's when you start to get the good nutrients from the bone. You don't want to put it on high heat and then it's like cooking so fast, you want to, basically. So you don't stir it, and I don't. From my own, stirring it isn't needed.
So how do you know when it's done?
So when it's done, it will release like a golden brown color, and you'll start to see the bone falling apart, the joints falling apart, and then yeah, that's yours. You can tell by the color of the broth. And then as I mentioned earlier, that when you actually let it cool down, it would thicken up. And then that's when you made a good bone broth, and that's your gelatin. The gelatin will form, and then you've got a good bone broth. Sometimes there's been times where I've made bone broth and it hasn't actually thickened up. So I know that it's probably not as beneficial as it's been. So it's trial and error to get it right, if you're making it for the first time. But I would say notice the color of the broth, because that's when you know it's done. And it's falling apart.
That's really good to know. Other than the vegetable soup that you make after you made your bone broth as a base, what are other things that you can make with bone broth?
So you can a good way to you can batch cook bone broth, and the best way to do it is to batch cook it, and then you could either just freeze it or put it into ice cube trays. So once you could, you can use like one or two or three, whatever, depending on what you're cooking. And it's good to use it in things like your own soup, or if you're making a pasta sauce, you could add it into pasta sauce. So it gives it like a stock. You could also just have it as a drink in the morning, which I know everyone thinks is quite great. But when you're freezing anything, the nutrients are contained that way. But from what I've used, I think it's the best way to use it is in pasta sauces. It just gives it enhancement of the pasta. Because I like pasta, so why not?
That's actually something that's really delicious.
Yeah. Or you can make it in like a curry or something. If you're making like Indian food or anything, you can add it into that. So when you're freezing it, it's very beneficial to use it and versatile in a lot of cooking ways, whatever you wanted to do.
I love batch cooking because it saves a lot of time. And then now you have this delicious stock that you can use it for all sorts of cooking, from soup to pastas to many other dishes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I wouldn't try it in anything cold as such, but when you use it in warmer dishes, I think you get more of the flavor compared to making like a smoothie, for example. I don't know how that would taste.
Yeah, I'm not sure about a bone broth smoothie.
I haven't got that far yet, but I've managed to just have it warm, and so far so good. It's been fine. Tolerated it well.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
I love it that you really like put your experience led you to where you are. So and then you mentioned a little bit, so you take histories and everything. So tell us a little more about what's a session with you look like, and how do people like work with you?
So I kind of briefly went into that earlier, yeah. But once I get a client, obviously booking in with myself, I have just a call at the beginning before they actually sign up, just explain what I do, how it works, the process, what nutritional therapy is all about, because nutritional therapy is understanding the root cause of a symptom. So anyway, I go through all of that, and if they want to sign up, they sign up. And then I book them on for a 90-minute consultation. And then the 90 minutes is literally going into a lot of detail about their health, their symptoms, every system of the body, their lifestyle habits, their current diet, how they sleep, their medical history and their past history. So it goes into a lot of detail for 90 minutes. And then in that call, I will then make a decision whether they want to do testing, just to get a bit more of a better understanding of the thing. And then once we do that, I formulate a protocol for them to go away with. And then after about 5 to 6 weeks, we have a follow-up appointment. And then I do actually keep in touch weekly with the client just to make sure that everything is fine, or if they're not happy with something, I change it. So I like to keep in communication a lot because I like to know their progress and what's going on. Mm-hmm. If they need help with anything, I'm there for them, because that's the support that they probably would need, especially at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Because when you're giving them ideas for meal recommendations or what to cook for recipes, getting the ingredients at the beginning, it takes a good week to get a list of things. So yeah, so it can be a bit overwhelming for them. That's why I like to, you know, to keep in touch and ask them how they're getting on with everything. And then from that point onwards, I lead them to it. And then if they've got questions, they just message me for whatever, it could be anything. And then how I've done it that way, it works really well with them. And they actually, what more than anything, I want them to enjoy what they're doing, not feel like, oh God, I've got to get up and do this. That, you know, so you want them to actually enjoy, because they're making all these changes, which they've never done before. So I try to make it as, like, what's the word to use? Enjoyable. And yeah, so far so good. Yeah, it works well with clients. And then sometimes after 3 months, they might want continuous support, and then they'll carry on. I'll continue working with them, because what I've noticed is that people with conditions like acne and eczema, you don't really heal with 3 months. Mm-hmm. It can be longer. So everyone's, the good thing about it is that everyone is different. So when I do a protocol for one person, it'll be completely different for someone. Mm-hmm. I'm not the same. It's completely tailored to their symptoms and what they want to achieve from nutritional therapy.
Yeah, I love this personalized approach because as you mentioned, everybody is different. Their lifestyle could be a little bit different and their routine could be different. So they're really lucky to be working with you.
Yeah. Well, so far so good. To be honest, what's rewarding is when I touch base with the client and they say, oh yeah, I've made improvements on this, or this is working well, or I might get the odd times, oh, I don't enjoy this recipe. Can you give me some more ideas? You're always going to get these things, and I want to make sure that I can always be there to help them out and improve what they're doing, and because in that way I can keep track of what they're doing all the time, so it works well for me in that sense. So because like with skin as well, it's a process to go through. You can go sometimes step backwards before you actually make the need to get to, because I saw it with myself as well. And you know, you're going to go back before you go forward. But however, as what I do say is that as long as you're committed and dedicated and willing to make the changes, improving your lifestyle as well, which is so important, that's when you start to see a difference in yourself. I mean, we're all going to have days where, you know, we're going to have a cheat day, or we're going to want to have chocolate or something. It's bound to happen. It's completely normal. But as long as we can, you know, be consistent, it's consistency is the key when it comes to going through this journey of holistic healing. So yeah, that's how I would work with my clients.
That's wonderful. I think also not just under your guidance, but also having your support, because a lot of time it's like really hard for people to change. They feel overwhelmed, but having the support and then this holding their hands to go through this journey, it would be super beneficial.
Yes. Yeah, that's it, because I'm not physically with them doing it. I can only give them the coaching and the support from wherever I am, through the phone or through a call or something, because they're going to need that help. But once they've actually established what they like and what they don't like and how, and the best, when they start seeing improvement in their self, they start appreciating it more and they want to continue and carry on doing it, because they're seeing changes, positive changes. Even as the smallest things are the biggest things as well. Like I had been dealing with a client who's approached me for chronic acid reflux. But when she's carried out all the tests, it came out that she actually had SIBO. So it was crazy how the acid reflux is kind of put to one side now. So I'm trying to deal with the SIBO situation. And then now, like, I spoke to her today and she was like, oh yeah, I feel a little bit better. I don't have much reflux anymore. So it's really slow with her, but it's positive changes, which is what I love to hear, because at least I know that because she was that type of person who's tried so many things, so many doctors, other conventional treatments, and nothing was working for her. Mm-hmm. So she wanted to get a natural route. So I told her that it will take time. It's not an overnight, you know, fix, but thank God, like, you know, just to know that she's improving is a lot for me. So, yeah.
That's also super rewarding.
Yeah. Because I put a lot of time into doing protocols as well, because I have to look into research, because everything is all evidence-based. So doing plans and protocols can be quite time-consuming, but as long as it pays off and the client is seeing a change and they're happy with what I'm helping them and they're happy with the changes and what I tell them to do, then you know what? Then working together like that, I know for a fact that I know later down the line things are going to change for the best. So that's for me is quite rewarding.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing everything with us today, Aisha. And then also thank you for joining late after work hours. So thank you so much.
No problem.
And
thank you for having me.
Thank you, everyone. Yeah, thank you, everyone, for joining. We have actually a pretty decent turnout. And everyone, be sure to follow Aisha at Nutrition by Aisha and then learn more about Aisha's services, you know, by clicking in the LinkedIn bio, tapping the post, promoting this Instagram live. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Jenna. I really appreciate it.
Have a good night.
You too. Take care. Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.